It's time again for your Portland Morning Brew. Casual conversations with business, city, and community leaders and influencers. Get to know your neighbors. News, views, and events all centered around our community. Now, here's your host, Troy Holden.
Good morning and welcome back to Portland's Morning Brew. The Chamber of Commerce here locally in Portland brings you this podcast a couple times a month. We like to talk to local people, people influencing our community, working in our community, doing things out there for us. We try to get into some government things, political things, local things that are going on. And today we are talking to Adam Pope. Adam, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing, Mr. Holden?
I'm doing okay. I try to be a tech guy as much as I can. I have to be in an audio production, but sometimes when you unplug something and plug it back up, you just don't know what's going to happen. You ever deal with that?
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
I used to do a little bit of what you're doing in a whole different era. I started in, and let me tell everybody that if you don't know that Adam is a musician, singer, he's got a lot of great things going on that we'll get into. But I used to do this back in the 80s. I traveled for a long time doing country music, had a publishing contract for a year through Irv Woolsey's group, and almost got a cut with John Anderson. And then, wow, I just gave up and went to work. I said, I got to go get a job. I'm never going to make it. But it was great fun. And then I ended up in gospel music in about 15 years ago and did that for about 7-8 years. So, man, I can kind of relate to what you're doing.
Yeah, you absolutely can. And I'll tell you what, if you were doing it back in the 80s and 90s, you were a part of some of my favorite music ever. You know, that's the
stuff
that...
Yeah, it was a really neat time. And one of the things that really surprised me, there was another guy, we were writing partners, and we had some pretty decent material. And we got invited to come meet with CBS Records and Rick Blackburn. And he was listening, you know, he had played a couple things, cassette tapes back then, and he was playing it. And he's like, man, I really like you guys' music. And he looked up at us and he said, but I just can't market you guys. You just don't have the look right now. And it was at a time to when there were a lot of really strong singer-songwriters coming out, you know, that did have a really huge stage presence. But we were looking to be writers. We weren't really looking to get out on the road and play. We wanted the life, the Dean Dillon life. And that was a guy I admired so much. I actually played golf with him several times over at Henry Horton Golf Course. He was a great, great guy.
Oh, man. He's a legend, man. Look up to him a lot.
And if anybody hasn't dug it up, there is a great... I think it's on Netflix. There's a great biography on him that is highly interesting. If anybody loves the music industry and has an interest in that, it's a great, great program. It goes into his life and how he got into this and what all he did and how he grew up. It's really cool.
Yeah, really absolutely. Cool. And all what he done for George Strait and his catalog.
Good gosh. Yeah. Unbelievable. Just unbelievable. If they needed a song, it was like Call Dean. You know, if he doesn't have one ready, he'll get us one, you know.
And yes.
That was kind of the way it worked. Well, Adam, let's talk more about you and your career. First off, let's just kind of go back and tell us, you know, where you grew up and how music came to be in your life.
Well, I'm from North Carolina, around Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And when I was about 15, I got a guitar for my birthday, and I was pretty sheltered at the time as far as what I listened to. We grew up, you know, my mama had us pretty involved in the church and even homeschooled at a time when a lot of people weren't homeschooled back then. And I got a guitar, and so she just took me down to my great-grandpa's house and said, well, he knows how to play, and he was in his 80s already. So I learned to play guitar from a guy born in 1919.
Wow.
And he was very active, and he played a lot of church gigs at that time. And so he'd just take us with him to play a revivals. I say us, meaning me and my sister. She was younger than me, and we'd learn from him. And I listened at the time. I would listen to country music and oldies pretty much, and gospel music, bluegrass and all that. So eventually I would just keep building on that and keep playing and writing. And I played at a big church one time in front of like 2,000 people. And I remember it was a song I wrote. And when I got done, now these were fundamental Baptists, and they did not clap in church for
right.
some reason. They just did not
right.
believe in it.
Right.
And I know you've done gospel music, so you know that all these different churches exist with different rules.
It's all
you know?
Different. Yep, absolutely.
And, I remember they clapped, and I couldn't believe it. And I had wrote this song, and I remember in that moment I said, I'm going to move to Nashville. And I did. So I've been here for 18 years, met my wife here, and been doing as much of it as I can without
yeah.
going hungry.
Yeah,
ever since.
There you go. There you go. That's the way you do it. You know, I jumped into this profession 2 years and 3 months ago, full time. I did it for a year and a half part time. And I just kind of took a leap of faith. I thought, it, you know, I love doing this. If you love something enough and you put yourself into it, it'll come around. It'll take a little time, but it'll come around.
Yeah.
So as you evolved out of that, you moved, you know, you came here to do this. Tell us how things have progressed and, you know, how it started out and kind of how you've gotten to where you are now.
Well, the first 8 or 9 years, I just didn't have any idea about anything. I worked a day job and I'd go do gigs and I'd leave Tennessee often with a band and go play honky tonks that we got booked at. And I really wasn't utilizing my networking in Nashville. I was intimidated quite a bit. And so I just kept the jobs I had. I worked actually at Newton Nissan in Gallatin for a long time.
Ah.
Finally, about I guess 8 or 9 years ago, I quit all my day jobs and I started being a tour guide in Nashville and I could create my own schedule. And I started realizing that as a tour guide, I can entertain people all day long. And from that, I started meeting a lot of songwriters and networking more and then playing gigs downtown more. So it took me a long time to get really my feet wet here. And mm-hmm. then I just got to where I'd say yes to almost everything. And then next thing you know, I was a drummer in a band in Montana and I wasn't no drummer, but I said yes, because this guy needed a drummer. And then I'd find myself in South Texas for a month, just playing RV parks. And I don't know, man, I just started doing all kinds of crazy stuff and I'd be going and making money with my guitar. And my wife has always had this amazing voice and sang at church. And I was always determined, if she wants to do it, I want her to take more of a lead role vocally in what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought she was gifted there. And so we, in the last 5 years or so, that's become more and more my narrowed focus, was working with her, and she loved it. And as we had kids, she's an elementary teacher by trade.
Mm-hmm.
And so she homeschools the two youngins we have. And actually, that's why she's not on the pod right now, because she's teaching in the
okay.
house here.
Okay.
So, but I just got home. I'm still, my head is spinning right now, because I just got back from 10 weeks on the road with a show that had nothing to do with anything I've been working on, which it just came out of the blue. I got the call to go for 10 weeks and do this show called Johnny Cash, The Official Concert Experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically Johnny Cash on a big screen, and there's a live band playing with him. And then
uh-huh.
I ended up singing like 12 songs or so in the show.
Oh, nice, nice.
And we toured, we just did 60 shows from Oregon, California, all them states over there, all the way back to Florida, Daytona Beach, and then up to Portland, Maine. And
yeah.
last week we ended with 8 shows at a casino up in Niagara Falls. And I just got home from that this week. And so I'm just trying to figure out what's been built, how many more Dollar Generals have been built in Portland since I got back.
I think we're up to 7.
Yeah, I think so.
It's crazy. It really is. And I do some TikTok stuff related to my VO, and people really like the local flavor thrown in on that. So I play the
yeah.
Southern accent hard. I play the Tennessee thing hard, and I'll go into Dollar General and snoop around, and some of them are just messy as all get out, you know, stuff
Man.
Everywhere. And you'll walk into another one 2 miles away that's just neat and organized and clean. And I'm like, Does the same guy own all these? I mean, I don't get it sometimes.
I got to follow you.
Yeah, they pop up everywhere. They just pop up everywhere. It's crazy. I think within, I can't remember the mileage here. I went out and drove it one day and actually did a video on it. There was like seven of them. And if I left the house, I could be to all of them within 15 minutes. You know, that's crazy.
Whew, that is wild. And I got to follow this TikTok page you're talking about.
Yeah, it makes absolutely no sense. But part of it. Back to the music. You've got, I'm assuming, and here I'm kind of playing off the cuff, I'm assuming you're going to be playing the festival this year. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah, my wife and I are booked for the Strawberry Fest May 10th, Friday night.
Okay, on Friday night.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
So the genre of music that you guys are doing with the background you have, are you sticking country? Is it kind of a little different? What do you guys do when it's just you two out and doing your thing?
Well, I'd say it falls pretty much all under country, and then we'll touch on some oldies. You know, we'll jump. Our show is like, we go from Jerry Lee Lewis, Great Balls of Fire, a whole lot of shaking going on, and then we'll jump into Alison Krauss, When You Say Nothing at All, you know, that kind of stuff, and then get into the 90s, more into that 90s country stuff, and then we'll, when appropriate, we'll throw in an original if it entertains. I mean, that's really right. The thing. There's so many originals I got piled up, and you could play them all day long, but if they're not entertaining the crowd or the situation, we're not going to do it.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, so we just try to fill out a lot of the crowds that we play. Of course, up there at the Strawberry Fest, man, that's just, they like a variety, and there's always a real high energy band coming on right after us. And so we're more, when we play up there, we're typically in a more of an acoustic setup. So we try to keep it entertaining and cover central and country and oldies.
Now, to get the original stuff out, do you guys go to a lot of the showcases around Nashville, or what do you do to push that? Because that is how you break, you know. And I remember exactly what you're saying, and this is a somewhat related story. Back in the day, they called it fanfare. It wasn't the big music fest like it is now. It was fanfare. It was one location out at the old fairgrounds. And there were a lot of stuff that went on the week before. So we got asked to play a showcase for fanfare. But when we got there, we got nervous. And we decided we're only going to do like one of our originals, and we're just going to do some covers, because we could tell by the crowd they weren't there to hear original music. And, man, that is such a hard thing sometimes, because you know, to go anywhere, usually to get somewhere, break into the business, you're going to break in under your originals and your songwriting most of the time. So how do you guys get out and showcase that, and what do you do?
Well, we typically, well, first thing we did is I wanted to make a great record. And so we cut an album with a producer named Darren Aldridge, and he's a bluegrass guy, but he can do all kinds of different styles. And him and his wife play the Opry a lot, and they're kind of, they're very active. We look up to them quite a bit, Darren and Brooke Aldridge. And so once we finished the record last year and we put it out, then it was just a matter of, first of all, we don't have a label, we're independent. So, you know, we put it out, we just promote it, and then try to do stuff on our social media, playing gigs around town. Like, we'll go do songwriter nights and stuff, but a lot of that's just for other songwriters. So we haven't actually done any like showcase downtown or nothing for labels, but we're trying to, we kind of are at a point where we'd rather go out and make money playing shows.
Right.
And just keep rolling independent. If somebody comes along, awesome.
Yeah.
But man, I mean, that's the way if we try to stay in town and play showcases, and I don't even really right now downtown, I think a lot of it is it's songwriter nights and songwriter circles.
Right.
If that makes sense. So that's a lot of it now, less showcases. Like, they used to do showcases at 12th and Porter and all them places. Yeah. And all that stuff's gone away.
Right. Things have changed for sure.
Yeah. It's crazy. So Yeah, we're trying to just, man, we're trying to make a living and keep, like I said, back to your question, to insert an original song, man, we just, it's all about the entertainment factor and
Right,
giving people
right.
something maybe memorable. So a little, maybe just a little statement, or like, we have a song about called Playing Patsy. It's about playing Patsy Cline music, and it's got a shuffle country dance beat. So it's easy to throw those kinds of songs in when they're original, and then they stick with people, and then they go buy a record, and people still buy CDs. I can't believe it, but I'm happy about it. So,
That's kind of
yeah.
neat. And yeah, you are so right on how things have changed. You used to have to go do the showcases and do those things to be heard. And now, no, put it out on social media, crank it out, put as much out as you can, good content. Where people are seeing and hearing you, somebody could run across it and hear it. And next thing you're on a deal and somebody picks you up. You're exactly right. It amazes me. And heck, I cannot remember the guy's name that had the song out last year, the redheaded guy.
Oh yeah, the
Geez.
Oliver Anthony
Oliver
thing.
Anthony, you got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a guy, he had no idea that thing was going to do what it did, but
No.
it does happen
Yeah, he
for sure.
clearly didn't, 'cause he done it in the woods with the dog sitting out there, and it's funny how the thing that you're just kind of doing as authentic as possible
Right.
without even trying to, I don't know. It's like he was trying, but it was still it touched people because it was so real, and I
Yeah,
think,
absolutely.
yeah, that's
Absolutely.
what stands out.
And I think that is the way of the world right now. People are looking for authenticity and real, even in what I do. You
Yeah.
go back prior to COVID, maybe further back than that. A little bit. Everything you heard on TV and radio, it was that announcer guy, and he's selling you 10 of these for $10. You don't hear that much anymore. Maybe in some car ads, furniture ads, a little bit, but everything else you hear are real people interacting, just talking normally, and that's how this industry's changed. And now I think everything has changed. People want real and authentic. They don't want to be bamboozled or pushed. They don't want anything pushed on them, and they don't want to be yelled at. And
Right.
that's kind of how our industry has changed. And it's been fun to watch the music industry change. I'm glad I don't have to do that anymore. God bless you for being out there and doing it. But the thing is, you're enjoying it. I can hear it in your voice. I can hear the passion when you talked about entertaining people and being in front of people and just getting out there and doing the work. I think that's fantastic. With that, we've talked about the festival. Let's talk about anywhere and everywhere people can hear and pick up your music.
Well, the best place to be to find our music would be adamandamypope.com, POPE, .com. So that's it. And we're on Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff. We have a TikTok, but you're further ahead on that. You've inspired me to get going on that TikTok, but I feel like I missed the boat. It's funny, man. Those things take off, and then there's a new one happening, and by the time I get going on the old one,
Yeah, it's hard to
the
keep
new one
up.
have. But by the way, you were talking about authenticity and stuff, and I wanted to say I've listened to a number of these episodes and shows you've done interviewing people here in Portland, and we're honored and proud to live here. I've been in Sumner County since the day I moved to Tennessee 18 years ago. My wife is from Greenbrier, and I love how authentic your show is and how you've introduced me to a lot of local businesses and people around here by listening to your show. And even when I'm on the road, I have a connection to home in Portland through your show. And I just wanted to
Awesome.
say thank you for doing that.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. I appreciate that. This is just something I try to do to pay back to the community. I've been up here about 20 years. I'm from Rutherford County. I did not grow up here either. I'm a transplant. I came here for work. Nissan sent me up here to work at Unipress, and I worked there for quite a while and went along and worked at several other places here. Ended up staying here, got married, bought a farm, and I love it up here. And it's
Yeah.
a great community, a great place to raise kids, a great place to live. It reminds me of you know, how Rutherford County was when I was a kid, which it is not that way anymore. Murfreesboro, like metropolis now.
Right.
But, you know, back then, you know, get on your bicycle, ride all over town, you know, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, people opening doors for each other. It was a great place. And this reminds me of that. It's still small town America. And I'm just glad I can give a little something back. But I do really appreciate the compliments on that, because we don't sometimes don't hear a lot. You know, you put this stuff out and you don't hear a whole lot. So everybody, you got that. You got the website. Find them on Instagram. Definitely come out to the festival on the Friday night and hear the show, see the show. These are folks that are in our community that love the community, have been here for a long time and love it. And I guarantee you, you'll be highly entertained. Adam, we wish you and your family the best of luck with this. Wherever you want it to lead, I hope that's where it leads, whether it's small time, big time, just staying busy, or whatever you guys are praying for. We're praying with you and hope it all comes true.
Well, thank you very much, Troy. I sure appreciate it, sir. I hope you have a great day. Thank you for doing this.
You're quite welcome. Thank you.
This was the Portland Morning Brew with Troy Holden. If you'd like to be a guest, reach out to the Portland Chamber of Commerce. We'd love to have you on the podcast. Be sure and visit the Chamber's Facebook page for more information. Thanks for listening, and join us again soon.